I see what's going on here. This is going to be one of those sermons where we do some kind of God math and realize that the forgiveness message that you're about to give means that I have to keep forgiving people over and over and over and over yet again so that they can treat me like a doormat, just welcome, come on world, walk all over me because of some kind of fancy Jesus math, right?
Yep, we're talking about forgiveness today. And if you're doing some kind of flyover of this passage because you're trying to catch up to your Bible reading plan that you started back a few months ago, or you're just trying to scratch the surface to get a general idea of the scripture, I can totally see how you could read these words and think that we are called to be some forgiveness punching bag for all who would like to take a go. But my hope today is that by the end of our time together, we'll see how forgiveness allows us an opportunity to live as a reflection of God's redemption. But first, let's orient ourselves so that we can remember that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. This is what we're calling our true self today. Your true self is grounded in a loving Creator who will never leave your side or abandon you because of the way that you look, or your current income, or your employment status, or your Rainbow Six gamer stats. You are more than what you bring to the table on any given day. You are a wonder. However, along the way, we make choices, or life happens to us in a way that calluses develop, hearts harden, and we have scars from our interactions with doing life. And there are times when we cling to stuff or build walls around different parts of our lives that distort this true self. And we're calling this our false self when we build our false self. And if you're like me, when I feel like things are going out of control and things don't go as planned with the way that I had envisioned, I want to fix things myself. And so I begin to try to have tougher skin or suck it up or be quick to not let anybody wrong me. And if they do, so help them. They are on my dunzo list. They are cut out. Even when I'm living my best false self life, though, I feel incomplete and kind of hollow. The circle of those that I want to be around continues to shrink. And I don't see myself or the others around me full of much wonder at all. But the good news is that we are wonders, even when we wear our false selves. God is with us, even when we feel less than wonderful. God hasn't left us, but made a way for us so that we're able to live our true selves anytime that we want. And putting back on this full self is what John Wesley calls being made perfect in love. And so that's where we're going to jump into our scripture today, with Peter asking this very direct and very human question about forgiveness and the expectations of those who have wronged us, or that at times we have wronged others. Hey, Jesus, how long do we have to put up with these jerks before they get what's coming to them? That's the official Pastor Chris translation of what Peter asks. And Jesus answers this very human-focused question with a very kingdom-sized answer. The long and the short of it is that Jesus is telling us to stop tallying up these kind of forgiveness punch cards. Brian Erickson writes that the problem with counting how many times we forgive is that we're not really practicing grace. We're just extending our patience. Isn't that good, right? So what then does forgiveness look like in the life of a Jesus follower? Well, I think that a good place for us to start is to remember the grace and forgiveness that has been extended to each and every one of us. Today in our parable that Jesus speaks of, the character representing God forgives a debt equivalent to 100 million days worth of wages. God has forgiven an insurmountable amount of sin. And it's not free or easy, but our debt has been erased, and it will continue to be erased in the future because of God's grace and forgiveness, in hopes that we can more fully live into that true self that we have been created in. The grace that you've been extended should change your heart should change the way that you see the world and your neighborhood and even your enemy or those that you need to forgive and those that need to forgive you. And so with this in mind, we work towards a genuine forgiveness. And Douglas Hare reminds us, though, unlimited forgiveness isn't to be confused with some sentimental toleration of hurtful behavior. Christians are often guilty of forgiving too much too quickly. The misbehavior of alcoholics isn't to be laughed off, and clergy who act inappropriately aren't to be excused lightly. Teenagers who betray their parents' trust aren't simply to be forgiven. A much more loving course of action is to insist that they amend their behavior so that they can regain trust. In these and in other instances of premature forgiveness, there is that easy way out, but that does little good to help the offender or to heal the damaged relationship. And that's what we're working towards, reconciliation and a healed relationship. And so when we do the hard work of forgiveness, it allows us to set down some of those calluses and hard hearts and that false self and live more freely. When we do this, we're able to live as a reflection of God's redemption. This is another example of how when people ask Jesus this question about how to get into heaven, Jesus' answer pushes beyond that and reveals how we can bring heaven to earth here and now. I remember when I was serving my first church full time, and a volunteer had done a few things that needed forgiving, but rather than doing the work of forgiveness, I really just wanted him off the team. For sure, it was just a bad fit. And so I had a conversation with my senior pastor and told her what was going on, and her response was, "Sure, you could do that. But maybe he needs just a little bit more of your time and grace." And then she went on to recount a couple of times over the past years where my actions had gotten her a slew of phone calls and emails that basically would be not worth her time, that it would be easy for her to write me off. The words of this wise guy began to sink in about how much she had forgiven me. And so with that volunteer, I was able to work out some of that tough stuff. And to this day, I get excited that I am still able to do ministry with him from time to time. And it is exciting because when I extend the kingdom style forgiveness that I get to be a reflection of God's redemption. Every single day, I am able to put more and more on my true self and live into that truth so that others might fully do that as well. Friends, may you be reminded that no matter where you are, that you are enough because God has offered you that forgiveness and redemption, and that you might then live into this as a reflection of God's redemption for other people so that they can then encounter this great grace of forgiveness, and together we can celebrate in the gift of our debts being forgiven and us coming together in this no fair way that God builds the kingdom so that we might all live our true selves. Amen.